Thank you, Nick, for the worship, and leave the music stand here, if you will. Right. I'm an old man. I have to have something to hide behind. Well, we just sang about God's love. Of course, you're all familiar with Kwa mana jinsi hi mungu aliopendu uli mwengu hata kam toa manawe peke ili kili mtu aminiwe asipote bale awe na uzima wa milele. God's love. And we're a Baptist church, so I have to translate what I just said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I just got to use my Swahili 2 weeks ago. I'm a missionary, and I love being a missionary. And I believe God's called every person to be a missionary. And Christians, he's called to become Christian missionaries. And I love being a missionary. I'm recently celebrated my birthday of 59 years. And I'm still on a great adventure. 2 weeks ago, I was up in Kansas City on an adventure, Kansas City, Missouri. And I'm in an apartment down near Garfield and Independence Avenue, if you're familiar with Kansas City. That's not a high affluent area of Kansas City. It's not far from the bus station. And I'm in an apartment with a couple of ladies and a church planter that I'm working with there named Omar. And Omar wants me to come, and I'd been there just a month before, and I'd preached in Central Baptist Church there at Garfield and Independence Avenue, and it was a strange experience for me. I preached in Swahili, and then I would translate in English, and I'd preach in Swahili, and then I'd translate in Swahili. It's the first time I'd ever done that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit was there. I was a missionary, and one person got saved, and a bunch of Africans, about 15 of them from Tanzania, came to the altar to pray. And we just had a great time. I was a missionary, you understand. And 2 weeks ago, I was back there. This 13-year-old young man's going to be baptized. And Omar, he doesn't speak Swahili, and these people don't speak English. And so he was wanting me to come back up. And so I was in these ladies' house, and we were talking away in Swahili, and Omar's patiently sitting there. And I forget he's there, and I don't translate a single word for about a half hour. And then I realized he didn't have a clue what was going on. He's a missionary, too, but he just hasn't had the chance to learn Swahili. The thing I discovered while I was there and made it a great adventure was I'd been introduced to these people as being Tanzanians. And if you're not familiar with East African history, Tanzania, when they gained independence, had a socialist communist leader, Nyerere, and he led them into a socialist communist state, and he did away with all their tribal languages. And he made Swahili the official language of everybody. And so he forced people to leave their tribal homes and move into communities that he established under the socialist and communist model. And so he made them forget their tribal language. And therefore, everybody in Tanzania speaks Swahili, and they speak very good Swahili. Now, my Swahili is very good because I flunked out of language school and moved to the coast of Kenya where the language originated. And then I got lost, hungry, and thirsty, and wouldn't tell people about Jesus, and nobody spoke English. They spoke Swahili or their tribal language. And so I learned Swahili very good. I still think in Swahili. And so I was talking to these ladies in Kansas City, Missouri, and one of them, I could tell she was tripping up in her Swahili once in a while. And then I said something, and she had that look like she didn't catch it at all. And I thought, did I make a real bad mistake in Swahili? But the other lady caught on, and she responded. And so I asked the lady, I said, are you originally from Tanzania? And she said, no. And so immediately went on in my mind, she's not Tanzanian. I said, you came from another country and a tribe where you grew up with a tribal language. And she said, yes, I came from Burundi. And we were refugees out of Burundi during the trouble in Burundi. And we came to Tanzania. And from Tanzania, we've come to Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a missionary. And because I was fortunate to be supported by something called the Southern Baptist Cooperative Program, Lottie Moon Christmas offering, I was able to go to Africa and learn these languages, come back to Missouri, and I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, talking to these people. And then afterwards, we went down to a restaurant in Kansas City, Missouri, a Somali restaurant, where they had ugali and sukumawiki, which doesn't mean anything to you unless you speak Swahili. But it's a tasty food from East Africa that you either love or you can't stand. And I came to love it, and we were in the Somali restaurant, and we're surrounded by people from Somalia and countries of Africa, right there in Kansas City. I was just like Africa. I loved it. We were eating with our hands. They put a plastic spoon on the table just in case you needed it. But in Africa, everybody eats out of a common bowl, and everybody eats with their hands. And I was a missionary. Now, a few days later, I'm back in St. Louis. I'm at St. Louis Bread Company on Manchester and 270. And I'm with Yoshinori Ubukata. Now, he's not African. He's Japanese. And he's drinking tea, and I'm drinking a caramel latte in St. Louis Bread Company. And we're talking about the Japanese church plant here in St. Louis. And I'm helping him learn how to do an ethnographic interview so that he can do a better job communicating the gospel to the Japanese church, which we started here in St. Louis, the first one in Missouri. I'm a missionary. And you understand, I'm on a great adventure. The next day, I'm on the telephone with Pat Rankin, who's the pastor of the biker church, Have Bible Will Travel, up in Maryland Heights. And we've got a little problem with the church plant we're trying to do down at Shady Jack Saloon down by the Dome, where we do a Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock and 10:30 in that bar while it's open. You see, I'm a missionary. And a few days after that, I'm talking to Jim Matthews, who's pastor of the Cape County Cowboy Church that we started just a year before we started this church. Meets in a livestock auction barn. They're building their own facility. We started that in January 2004. Our first Sunday morning service was Easter Sunday morning 2004. We had 85 people there, and which was spectacular. We'd been doing Thursday nights. This Easter, I'm talking to Jim Matthews, they had over 1,100 people. I'm a missionary. And you see, I really enjoy what God's called me to do. I believe God's called all you to be missionaries. And I want to talk to you today about people groups and missionary eyes. This is a map from your International Mission Board that I plagiarized off the internet and downloaded. And it worked a lot better on their website than it does on the PowerPoints. But there's a whole bunch of red, green, orange dots there. And they have different meanings about people groups. And most of us in America, we're not familiar with people groups. And people groups is about having missionary eyes. I see people groups all over the place because I have missionaries' eyes because I'm a missionary. As we go through this study today, I hope that, and I pray that by the time we end here, you have missionary eyes, that you're on a great adventure as a missionary. And I'd like to start that by us just having a word of prayer. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes right now, I'd like to talk to God. God, here we are in great Eureka, Missouri, home of Six Flags, And a lot of people who love baseball and softball, and a lot of people who love to fish in the Merrimack and float on the Merrimack. And a lot of them are doing those things today, Lord. And that's okay. We're here today because we want to do something with you, God, and we want you to do something with us. And God, I just pray right now that you would allow your Holy Spirit to come into this place. That the very power and presence of you, God, would come into this place, because we're gathered together here in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And where you promise in the Bible, where just two or three of us would come together in his name, he would be there with us. Because God, when we leave here today, I want people to remember Jesus and the mission that Jesus has for them in their homes, where they go to school and where they work, where they play on the baseball diamonds and when they float on the river, when they drive down 44. God, help us all to be missionaries for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of people I get to meet, and a lot of them are church planters, not the least of which is Mike Hubbard. Matter of fact, Mike Hubbard might be the biggest church planter I have in the state of Missouri in many ways. But I meet a lot of them. And in these slides, you're going to see pictures of people that don't hum like I do, evidently. These people are all on these slides are people who I consider fellow missionaries. These people have missionaries' eyes that see people and communities the way Jesus saw them, right in the book of Matthew. You know, the mistake we make so many times is we have separated ourselves from the New Testament. And we think that those early disciples, the first 12, the first apostles, we think of people like the missionary Paul as being different than us. But as we look at these pictures, these are all people that I know. And people I've worked with. And these people, listen, they're just like Paul. I see the Apostle Peter in some of these people. I see Matthew the tax collector in some of these people. These are all missionaries right here in the state of Missouri. Right, not 2,000 years ago, but right now. These are all people in the last year that I've worked with in planting churches. in different places. And they all have what I've tried to help them develop, missionary eyes. Eyes that see the way Jesus saw there in Matthew chapter 9. I want you to understand that, first of all, as we look, you open up your Bibles. If you've got one, there's some there at the end of the aisle. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to start out with verse 35 and 36. You see, missionary eyes see people and communities the way Jesus saw them. The way Jesus saw them. And I like the way Jesus saw the communities and stuff. Matthew chapter 9, if we'll go on, Jerry, to the next slide. Here we are, verses 35 and 36. And I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That's the hardcore Southern Baptist Bible, if you're not familiar. It's printed by the Southern Baptists, and since they pay my salary, I'm a hardcore Southern Baptist, all right? Don't hold that against me. But I've been reading through this Bible, and it's a good translation. But we're going to start there in verse 35. I think we're going to read 35 and 36, yeah. Then Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to understand that Jesus went. And the thing about being a missionary is going. Missionaries just don't come to church and sit there and expect Brother Mike to impress them or Nick to impress them and get a hold of them, and that's it. That's all they're supposed to do is let Nick lead them in some kind of worship that really stirs their hearts and give them goosebumps, or Brother Mike says something or does something or has a video clip that does something. Missionaries need those things. I love to worship. I warned the sound person, please do not have the sound on while worship's going on, because I love to worship. I'm very famous in East Africa. I can sing God is So Good in three different African languages, all off key. But I love to worship, you know. And I just warned him, don't have that on. I wanted Nick to lead me in worship today. That's the reason I came here. I came here to worship Jesus today. I came here to meet the Almighty, All-Sovereign God here today, for him to touch my heart and soul and to change me, because that's what I need to do every week. But that's just not all the end of it. Look here, Jesus went to all the towns and villages. Now listen, we have something called the Great Commission. You may be familiar with it, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Even in the Great Commission there, it starts out there in verse 18, and Jesus came. You see, it's not the responsibility of the people playing baseball this morning down here. It's not the responsibility of the people playing tennis. It's not the responsibility of the people going to Six Flags today. It's not the responsibility of the people who watch the Cards out in Boston today. The Cards who lost 3 to the Royals, could you believe that? That was sad, sad week for us. But they took 2 from Boston, maybe 3. But anyway, I digress. We don't expect those people to come to us. We as missionaries, we go to them. You understand? I go to them. That's what a missionary does. A missionary is always going to them. And it says here in Matthew 35, then Jesus went to all the towns and villages. Listen, in the Great Commission, it's not an option. Jesus commands us to go all the towns and all the villages, to the ends of the earth, to all the people groups. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, says, go ye therefore to all nations. And you probably heard Mike say that's pontata ethne in Greek. I don't know what that means, but Mike tells me and other people tell me it means all the different ethnic groups. That is not an option for us Christians. That is a command from Jesus Christ, from Almighty God Himself. His Son gives us a command, and I take that personally. And I want you to take that personally. Jesus took it personally. You know, all through the Bible, I'm reading through the Bible right now in a translation called The Message, a paraphrase. And I've been reading in Deuteronomy and all those rules and all those laws and Leviticus and stuff. And, you know, God gives us a great history. And he sent all these prophets, and he gave us the Word. He gives us the Bible. They're powerful instruments. But listen, it's the incarnation of the living Word that makes missionaries. God sent His Son. That's what I said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. And God is sending you on a mission. And he has a mission. Jesus went to all the towns and villages. Listen, this church, Genesis Church, has a responsibility to take the gospel to every town and village all over the world. It's not an option. And that's the reason I'm a Southern Baptist, a hardcore Southern Baptist, because through our program, we take the gospel to all the towns and villages in the world. That's what we're about. He went to all the towns and all the villages, listen, teaching in their synagogues. He wasn't a silent Christian. You know, we have so many of these secret service Christians. They go to the library, they go to school, they go to work, and they're secret Christians. Just if people will just watch the way I live, they'll understand the gospel. That is a lie from hell. Missionaries don't keep their mouths shut. They can't help themselves. They got to talk. They got to tell about Jesus. And Jesus himself, listen what he does. It starts out by saying, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom. That was the first thing he did. Now, there's some other things that he did here, and I like what he does, but he started out by teaching and preaching the good news of the kingdom. Listen, as missionaries, that's our number one priority. That's the number one priority of this church. This church, Genesis Church, can do a lot of things in the community, but its number one priority is to teach and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what Brother Mike's supposed to be about. That's what he leads you and equips you to be about. That's what a missionary is all about. That's what cranks my tractor, getting to teach and preach about the kingdom of God. The last 2 days I was down in Jeff City, left my family, went down there and trained church planters. It's the second group this year of church planters we're training in Missouri. And it was work. It was fun, but it was work. Teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. That's what we do. That's what I was doing in Kansas City. That's what I do with Yoshi. That's what I do with Pat Rankin and the Bikers. That's what I do with Jim Matthews and the Cowboys. That's what I do. I'm a missionary teaching and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. It is good news. Despite what the 6 o'clock news tell you, despite what Katie Couric may say, we have the good news. It's not bad news. Teaching and preaching the good news. Next, we notice, and healing every disease and sickness. Now, I got to be a missionary in East Africa 11 years. And I went there because I love to lead people to Jesus Christ. And I love to teach and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. But besides that, I also did healing. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I discovered that people had dirty water. And they needed clean water. And so I helped through your cooperative program dollars and your missions giving. You would give a dollar here to something called Hunger Relief. And I would spend a dollar in Kenya. And we did hand-dug wells at first. Near the ocean, I discovered if we would dig down just above sea level, that the salt water flowed back underneath the ground somehow. And fresh water, it has a lighter density than salt water. And so salt water would float on top of it. If we could figure out sea level and dig down about 2 or 3 feet above sea level, we'd get fresh water. Now, we did several of those wells. And one of the first ones I did was a place called Kijiwe Tonga, and you don't get the humor of that. That's from the rocks, and it was a very rocky place near the ocean, and we did a well there at Kijiwe Tonga, and I went back about 10 years later. I hadn't been there for years, and there was a little church. I started a church because I preach and teach the good news of the kingdom. While we dug the well, we preached, and we taught the good news of the kingdom, and we started a Baptist church, and there was Kijiwe Tonga Baptist Church, and I'll never forget when I was there, we had started out with one family, and we ended up with about 4 or 5 families, and I helped them get some tin out there, and they put a building together. It was 18 by 36, made out of mud and sticks, and had a tin roof. The walls were only about 6 or 7 feet tall, and then they put the tin roof on, and I'll never forget. And Joseph, who couldn't read, was the leader of the group. But I went back about 10 years later. My family was with me. We were on a holiday. That's what the British call vacation, on the coast of Kenya. And it was great for my kids to go back. They knew the guy who was the leader of the church, and they knew his kids and the grandkids. They'd played with him, and there were the church. And next to that little mud building and that well was a big stone church, and they had about 150 people in there. As I talked with them, they started 3 other churches in 10 years. 150 people. They put up a stone building. The well was there, and after church, I went out to the well, and I cried because women from the community, there was 4 or 5 of them around the well all the time. And in they had buckets, and they'd throw them over, and they had ropes, and it was about 60 foot down to the water. And they'd throw the buckets down, they'd pull that water up, and there was grooves in the rocks. In 10 years, they'd worn grooves in the rocks on the side of that well at the top from the ropes, all the ropes that had pulled water out of there. But not only that, souls had been saved. See, that's what a missionary is concerned about. I did a lot of different things in Kenya to help people. And Jesus preached, he taught, and he preached the good news of the kingdom of God. But he touched people's lives where they were hurting. And that's what this church is supposed to be about. not only just here in this community where people are hurting, but all over the world. And that's the reason we're Southern Baptists, because we can do that. Preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Listen to Jesus' heart, verse 36. This is the heart of a missionary. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn like sheep without a shepherd. In December, at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I walked into Shady Jack's Saloon on a Sunday morning. I had pulled up behind there. They gave me instructions to park behind it. And it's on the east side of Interstate 70 down there, near north of the Dome. Very, not your upscale neighborhood. There's a bunch of warehouses there that have been burnt out. There's a bunch of street people wandering around. And I drive a nice Honda Accord that you provide for me. It's not even a year old at that time, about 6 months. I'm a little worried if the thing's going to be there when I come back. And Shady Jack's Saloon, I don't know if you've been there. Have you been there? Shady Jack's Saloon. On the back side of it there, there's a burnt out warehouse to the right, and there's like a wooden ramp, and there's a couple of Harleys parked out there and some old cars and old pickups. But I can't even tell where to go into this place. It looks like it's a rundown warehouse. And I, be honest, I'm a missionary. I've been overseas. I've had a lot of experience. But I was a little nervous about getting out of my car and walking into that place. Now, a biker had called me and said, Ben, we'll be there. And we need you to come. You're our missionary. That's what he said. You're our missionary. This is our first Sunday morning worship service. We've been doing the Bible study like you told us to do. We want you there. And so I get out of my car and I say, okay, God, it's your car. I'm your missionary. Whatever happens, God, you know, it's your business. And so I get out and I walk up, and there's a ramp there, and I walk through the doors. It's 10 o'clock on Sunday morning in December, and there's a guy at the bar. Looks like he's passed out over his Bud Light. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. There's a barmaid there, a lady, who looks like she's had a lot of life experiences, all right? And she looks over me, and it's not a friendly look, because I don't look, I'm not dressed like I am today. I have a leather jacket on and blue jeans, and I'm not a biker, but I know how to dress to go to a biker bar. And so I sort of fit in, but she sees, you know, here's this gray-haired old man, he's got glasses on, walking in here, and she can tell I'm not one of the usual customers, and she gives me a snarl and says, what are you looking for? And I said, I'm looking for the church. What? And I said, I'm looking for a group of bikers called Half Bible Will Travel. They're supposed to do church here. And she just points through some doors. She didn't say nothing to me. Real friendly welcome. And I'm thinking, well, okay, God. So I walk through these doors, and there's four bikers. Rob is one of them. Mike is another one that I know. And they give me the biker's hug. And I'm not a biker, not a pretend biker. But these guys give me a big hug. And then each one of them starts telling the other three the story of the experience that we had at Cadillac Jack's. Another biker bar on St. Charles Rock Road, now called Jack's Iron Horse, where we started Bible studies and I helped start the biker church. And they each tell a story about, oh, yeah, remember when Ben was at Cadillac Jackson, you know, and they love me. And I don't get it. These are real men. These are hardcore 1% bikers. And they tell the story, and there's four of them and me, and we do our first service. When I see those bikers, some people are afraid of them. I'm a little nervous around them sometimes. But listen, I see people who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You understand? That's what I see. When I see the Africans in Kenya who are very economically challenged compared to us, and they're dressed I've got slides of them, and I don't show them because I don't want to embarrass any of the Africans, dressed in rags. And when I see those people, I see the harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I could tell you a lot of missionary stories, but I just want to tell you, I didn't come about this naturally. God gave me a missionary's heart. Jesus came into my life and changed me forever. And he broke my heart for anybody lost and going to hell without Jesus Christ. And that's the way Jesus was here. It says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. Listen, have you seen your neighbors and the people you work with? I was a Teamster for 7 years, and when Jesus finally gave me missionary eyes, I saw those Teamsters in the warehouse, weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. And I just see people like that all over the place. Have you seen them that way? Let's go on to the next passage here in verses 37 and 38. of Matthew chapter 9. Christians who have missionary eyes will pray as Jesus instructed his disciples there in Matthew 9. Listen to what he says there in Matthew 9, starting at verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." I was driving over here this morning, and I grew up on a farm. I have an agribusiness degree. I grew up a prejudiced, bigoted redneck, all right? That's the way I grew up. And then God, with his sense of humor, sent me to Africa and all these different people groups. But I was driving over this morning, and I noticed, I started looking over there at the road there on MM, and there's corn, and some of us, they've had to reseed the corn. And, you know, this is June, and that's not usual for corn. I understand about growing corn. But I was blessed because I got over by that golf course over there, and, you know, they had a wheat field. And I haven't seen a wheat field for a while. You know, I live in Jefferson County. There's not enough dirt to grow a bushel of wheat in Jefferson County. And I saw a wheat field, and that wheat field is yellow right now. In a few weeks, that's going to turn from yellow to white. I would guess by looking at it, by the 4th of July, they better have dry enough time to get in there and combine that wheat because it's going to be white until harvest by the 4th of July. You know, when I walk around Kansas City down at Garfield and Independence Avenue, I come across these Somalis, come across these Kenyans, and I come across these Tanzanians, and I see them, and they're ready for the gospel. They just need somebody to communicate the gospel to them. Listen, Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out the harvesters. That's Jesus' word to you today. That's not my word. Would you just stop long enough in your life to pray? Pray to God, the Lord of the harvest, to send out harvesters. I'd like us to move on here about missionary eyes. Jerry, all right, do you have missionary eyes? Listen, you know you got missionary eyes if you see and feel compassion for people groups that need the good news of Jesus Christ communicated to them in their heart language, in their heart language. Why did I learn Swahili, even though I couldn't learn language school? Why did I learn tribal dialects? Because people had to have the gospel communicated in their heart language. And why do I go to the bikers and start a biker church? Because those bikers can't go to First Baptist Church, O'Fallon, or someplace and hear the gospel. They need somebody to communicate it in their heart language. Why did we start the Cowboy Church just a mile from another church plant that we started in 2000, and 3 years later we're starting a church just a mile away? Because the cowboy culture needed somebody to communicate the gospel in their heart language. Listen, the heart language is what people hear. How important is it? Listen, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you're all familiar with. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the othermost part of the earth. Maybe you're not familiar with it, but it's one of those places where Jesus gives a commission. It's sort of like the last words of Jesus. And he says, listen, you're going to be witnesses because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. But over in Acts chapter 2, just one more chapter, if you look at verses 6 through 8, it's about the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit showed up in the first church and God showed up, and guess what happened? People heard the good news and the message and miracles of God in their heart language. It's there in verse 6. It's repeated again in verse 8. They heard in their own languages. People need to hear the gospel in their own languages. Why do you start a Genesis church in Eureka when you got other churches in Eureka? Because I believe that Mike Hubbard is called by God and gifted to God to communicate to people in their heart language like nobody else can here. I remember sitting with him and Heidi down at Denny's, and Heidi getting teared up because she wanted to tell people that she worked with and people in this community about the good news of Jesus Christ. I remember Mike being passionate. He wanted to do church the way that would talk to people. Missionary eyes. See and feel compassion for people groups that need the good news of Jesus communicated to them in their heart language. But also, missionary eyes is about praying. Missionary eyes is about praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest with hearts to feel and eyes to see what Jesus feels and sees in our communities. You know, Jesus' spirit, God wanders around the earth, and his spirit is seeing and feeling just like Jesus did, the harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he wants us to have hearts just like that. He wants us to be praying just like he prayed, and he wants us to see. And when we pray, something happens. I don't understand. I wish I could explain it theologically. You think I could. I've went to seminary a lot of years, but I just can't. But something happens when I really pray for lost people. When I pray, for Steve and Tiffany, who I witnessed to last week in their car. When I pray for Sierra at a restaurant that I witnessed to a few weeks ago, who was great with child and waiting tables in a Steak and Shake. Things were bad for Sierra, and she wanted me to pray for her. When I prayed for a guy named Ben running a boat down on the Lake of the Ozarks, who's just seen everything down on the Lake of the Ozarks, and really, it's all messed up. And when I pray, God opens up my hearts. Will you pray? Because Missionary Eyes is about praying. But listen, Missionary Eyes is about developing contextualized, that's a big word, pragmatic approaches need to evangelize and plant churches relevant to the unreached people groups. Contextualize. I was teaching yesterday, and we have a bunch of Messianic Jews in Kansas City that we're starting work with. And when I was teaching them, we talked about contextualized, looking at the context of your ministry and then adapting your ministry to fit that context. Not compromising on the scripture, but working with people. And then these Messianic Jews, man, they're legalist. They didn't like some of the things I said, and they started questioning, but it was a great discussion. And then finally, at the end of it, we'd finished, and one of them come up to me and said, I really understand what you mean by contextualize now. You don't compromise the Word of God or the gospel, but you contextualize in order to communicate to people. Listen, Missionary Eyes is a response to the reality of pockets of lostness in every community. Every time I drive through a community, I see pockets of lostness. You know, a lot of you maybe have driven south on Grand from 44, and you just may have driven down through there. But when I drive down through there, I see somebody who's very dark complected, and he's walking along, and he's got a little bounce in his step. You know what he is? He's Somali. And I recognize the Somalis, and they're mostly a pariah of the Muslim faith. And when I walk down, drive down through there, I see another African, and he walks a little bit different, and he's thinner, and his ears are smaller, and I know he's Ethiopian. And you know, we got a big group of Ethiopians here down on Grand. But then I drive a little bit further, and then I start seeing those restaurants, and they're Vietnamese. And there's a big community of Vietnamese in San Luis. I drive further down south on Grand, and I come to Morgan Ford and Gravois Corner there at Bevo Meal, and the people look a lot like me, but they talk different than me. They're Bosnians. You know, we got 40 to 60,000 Bosnians, Bosniaks, because they're Muslims in St. Louis, most of them centered around the Bevo Mill area. As I drive, see, I see those people, those pockets of lostness, and we don't have churches. I go to Cherokee, Iowa, and Cherokee. It's little Mexico there. And I go into a restaurant, and they're not Mexicans. These two brothers are Hondurans, and they need the good news of Jesus Christ for them, but there's a bunch of Mexican Americans there. There's a guy who's a bullfighter. The number one bullfighter in Mexico now puts roofs on in St. Louis. And I meet him, and guess what? He got saved 2 weeks ago. Listen, there's pockets of lostness all around us. That's what Missionary Eyes see. Listen, Jesus saw and felt compassion. Have you? Have you saw and felt compassion for the pockets of lostness in your community, in your life? The question is, to conclude, do you have missionary eyes? And the next question is, will you pray? Would you stand with me right now and bow your heads and close your eyes? I'd like to give you an opportunity to pray right now. God, here we are in this fine school, this fine facility that in this great country of America our taxpayers have paid for. And Mike has found an opportunity to come here to start Genesis Church. Because him and Heidi, I believe, have missionary eyes. And they saw lost people here in the Eureka area that needed Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to pray for each person here that they might have missionary eyes because they have missionary hearts. Lord, I want to pray for that person or persons who may have come here today and they've been checking out Genesis Church and they've been checking out Jesus Christ. I want to pray that today your Holy Spirit will change their hearts and minds where I can't. And they've heard some good news today, the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will lead them to say to God, I want Jesus to take over my life. I want the blood of Jesus to cover the sins in my life. And I want to be a new person in Jesus. I want to live for him. I want to be on mission for Jesus. Would you help people to do that today? We pray in Jesus' name.